Thank you, Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for that reality. Lord, what a priceless possession, Lord, to be called sons and daughters, Lord, to have you working in our lives, Lord, opening our ears, opening our eyes, speaking words from eternity down into our souls, Lord, and we respond and we say, Abba, Father. We just appreciate you tonight, Lord. We just ask that you would bless this little gathering. Father, we are needy. We're here because we need more of you, Lord. We're desiring more of you tonight, Lord. Help us. Lord, would you search our hearts tonight, Lord? Forgive us, Lord, of all wrong, Lord, any wrong things, any attitudes, isms, anything. Father, we know how your prophet, he said there in perfect faith, he went right back to forgiveness. It starts with forgiveness. Lord, help us. Search us, O Lord. Examine our hearts. Father, we ask that you, by your Holy Spirit tonight with each one, that you would take us into a place with you, in communion with you, Lord, that we would be able to feast and partake of you. Lord, for we believe there's more for us. Grant it, Lord, that we could leave this realm, this room, these bodies, and be caught up, Lord, in a spiritual atmosphere with you, Lord. Grant it tonight is my prayer for each and every one, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Deliver us, Lord, from this chaotic and neurotic age, Lord. Just help us even now, Lord, just sitting here. Just would you quiet our hearts and minds, Lord? Would you help us to be still, to know that you are God? Grant it, Lord. We just give this time to you. And we ask this all in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Musicians, appreciate you. Wow. Lord is good. The Lord is so good. Well, it's a Wednesday night, but I'm thankful we've got some back with us. Welcome back, everybody who was gone last weekend. I think we could probably fill up the first two rows, but that's okay. This way we spread out and it makes it. That's okay. That's all right. Lord is good, and just glad to be here together with each one of you, and thankful that he's working in us. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Do you believe that tonight? Do you feel him working? Do you feel like, oh my goodness, do you feel, I don't know about you, me, I'm just saying me, sometimes you have those days where your nerves are kind of shot and you feel the weight and pressures of the world and feel like World War X's happening up in here. But down there, there's that still small voice. If he can just quiet us and tune us into that more and more. I believe that he will, indeed he does. So thankful for him, for his grace and his mercies. And I'll tell you what, this hour that we're living in, Scripture says, know this, that perilous times will come. So that doesn't mean easy or comfortable, does it? It means not fun times. And we know that hell is more and more pressing itself into this dimension. Hell is more and more being expressed in the world around you, but we're called up, and heaven and eternity is being expressed. So this world, I believe, is being prepared to receive its head, its Antichrist. We are receiving our headship. So two different dimensions, two different realms, and we're right up in the middle of it, but he's ordained you, he's ordained me to overcome, to stand in this hour, and nothing can interrupt, nothing can hinder what he's doing, what he's called you to, and his plan. So that's right there in a nutshell. That's kind of just what I want to share tonight, a little bit of at least. So if you would stand with me, we'll open up with a couple passages. Let's start with Matthew chapter 25. Okay, 25, and we'll down to verse 31, please. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Think of that. Kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Aren't you thankful for that? So we'll just kind of hold that in our hearts, meditate on that. Let's turn also to Revelation chapter 21. And verse 1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Thank you, Lord, for that. Oh, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Amen. You can be seated. Just want to take a minute also and greet everybody online. God bless you all, each one of you. Pray that the Lord would just fill your room tonight, and that you'd have communion with him as you're participating remotely. So just was so thinking on these things, and the Lord, I've just been meditating on some of this, and just thinking of that, the wording there, as we just read, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's you. Do you see that? Do you see yourself in that? She's being prepared right now. And as we read in Matthew, that kingdom prepared for us. And I just think of this beautiful, to me this is beautiful in a way, but that quote that we've gone over so many times from Knoweth It Not, where Brother Branham says, he says, think of the Laodicean church age and its condition today. As far as I know, I don't see anything to hinder at this time the coming of the Lord Jesus outside the readiness of his church. So that, to me, is so rich, so powerful, so awesome. What the readiness of you, take it inside, take it personal, that he's working on you and on I in this day. That just speaks so much to me. So look at this world around us. Actually, better yet, forget this world around us. It's gone. Forget politics. Forget politicians. It's all, by the way, it's all theater anyway, so just forget it. It's gone. Forget the news. Why are we still here? What are we still doing here? Because he has more for you. He has a work for you and I that he's going to complete. His word in us will be completed. It will be fulfilled. And that's what we're still doing here. That's so to think of that in a way, if I could put it this way, the energies, the efforts, the heart and the mind of God right now in this hour is in his people, in you, in me, getting us ready. So we go back to that, the scriptures again that we read, a bride prepared. That's you and I, prepared. So that's kind of the thought tonight, is just a people prepared and a place prepared for us. And I love even just looking at the wording in the English dictionary, or actually Noah Webster dictionary technically. Prepared means fitted. I like that. You are being fitted right now for another place, another dimension, because we don't belong here. Like Elijah and Elisha and the robe. Remember, Brother Branham talks about the secondhand robe, I believe, is that message. Elisha, he had to grow into that robe, but he had to fit that. And so God is fitting his church, preparing us. Amen. Also adapted, made suitable, made ready, and provided. So all these things happening in the supernatural, in our souls, the working of his grace, bringing us into that place where we're ready, ready for that. It'll be there. It has to be there. Amen. He's going to complete. He's going to perfect that work. So just to take meditate on that tonight, I want to just bring out a couple points. And one of these really, to me, that's so beautiful is we just read Revelation 21. We read, you could say that the end. Well, it's not the end per se, but it's what we look towards the end. And to really understand it, let's go back to the beginning. To understand the end, we go back to the beginning. So we talk about a bride prepared. We talk about a people in perfect, complete condition, maturity, all these things. And that's amazing, and that's beautiful, and it's grace alone. But to really appreciate, to really understand that, let's go back to the very beginning, because that's where it started. And if we could just see, as Brother Bam said, the guarantee of this. He says, remember, in token, he says, it makes you so relaxed when you understand the guarantee of this, of him, what he's called you to, what he's working in you and bringing us into. So let's just go through some scriptures as we kind of ponder and meditate on that tonight. Let's start in Ephesians. Very familiar, but I'd like to touch on some of these and, again, meditate. Just trust the Lord will express and minister to each one as they have need. So Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll just, let's see. Yeah, let's start. And we'll start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all. And again, slow down. Let's think about the wording there. Hath. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that rich? Hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Here it is again. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. Thank you, Lord. There's your guarantee of it, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Amen. And then verse 8, let's keep going. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And here we are, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Amen. In whom we've also, 11, we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What amazing grace, what beauty, what to see ourselves in that, to understand the reality that we are participators, we're partakers of that in this very hour. This is happening. I'm a part of this. And you think about this reality. I love that. In verse 11, we've obtained an inheritance. I think of that, just the security of that. What the Lord protects, he's provided you. He's given you an inheritance. What he provides, he will protect. Think of that. So again, there's rest here and to see this. So let's just again continue to meditate on this. I'll read some of these just out of my notes if you want to turn or not. But Romans 9:22 says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" And verse 23, "that he might make known the riches of his glory." Thank you, Lord. "On the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared." You are prepared. He's before prepared you for these things. I love the way the Amplified puts that. This is verse 23. It says, "What if he, and what if he thus purposes to make known and show the wealth of his glory in dealing with the vessels, the objects of his mercy, which he's prepared beforehand for glory?" Amen. God, again, before the foundation of the world, in his heart, in his mind, the attributes that he wanted to express. Sorry about that. That was me. Now it's off. Sorry. I love to listen to these things. I love to listen to the prophet. Mm-hmm. You know, as he's speaking these words, he's Christ, the mystery of God revealed. I was just listening to that again. And he says, back in the back part of God's mind, where are you going to hear words like this? He takes you into the heart and mind of God and tells you what the motives and the thinking of God was. That's not man speaking. That is not man speaking. What man knows the things of man, but the spirit of man that's in him? That's God telling you his own mind, what he had in his heart. And here we are receiving that and partaking of that. Amazing. Amazing. So there we are inside of him. Part of him being expressed in this day. Grace. Oh my goodness, isn't this beautiful? So you have been prepared. You have been ordained, placed here in this hour. Part of God's beautiful plan of redemption, to express him, to display him, to partake of him, to become one with him. I love this. What he's doing. So again, looking to the end, let's go back to the beginning. Let's understand the beauty and the reality of our election and our predestination. These things that were in the back part of God's mind that are now in these final hours. Think of that. We're blessed. We're so privileged in the final part of this drama, this great, beautiful drama. Here we are seeing it unfold and we're part of it. Amazing. And I love this. What I couldn't help but think of is Jeremiah 29:11. And I love this because it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." What is that expected end? It's all these things that we've just been reading, understanding the perfection that we're called to, understanding the preparation and the work that he's doing. You know, so much of the religious world would quote that and think, well, this is amazing. The Lord's going to give me this certain career and all these wonderful things. The thoughts that he's thinking of you are this great redemption plan, and you're part of it. And that expected end is you complete, you perfect, you in his image and one with him. Oh, I love it. Brother Branham here in Things That Are To Be, this is a little bit, this is paragraph 37. I love this. He says, "Therefore, the bride in the rapture will come forth." You can't, she can't not. You're not. The bride in the rapture will come forth. Whoops, this is kind of slipping, I think. Sorry. "And there is all pre-planned by God." Wow, that's almost more than you can wrap your head around. But rest in that reality. You're being prepared. It's all pre-planned by God, all backed up from the beginning. He knowed every man, every place, who would all set, all about it. It's all pre-planned. God knew it would be here, and he made it that way. So that when we get, see, he's gone to prepare a place for us. Prepared people, a place prepared for us. And when we get there, it'll all be prepared, just even like this night is prepared, like this hour is prepared. Just makes you feel this big, so tiny, so small, how great he is. Thank you, I think, Jamie. Did you just, I'm not sure, maybe that kicked on its own. I feel a little warm, but again, so he goes on here and he's talking about God and his great omniscience. He's omnipresent. He knows all these things. So he talks, he's this beautiful progression here as he's talking about how we're born and we begin to grow up and mature and we understand things naturally and spiritually. It takes time, doesn't it? I really am amazed sometimes how much it takes us to, how long it takes us to kind of grow up and mature in our faith, mature in our walk. You know, we like to make a statement or say something. I'm going to just insert this real quick. My mom's grandpa on my mom's side used to have a saying that kids aren't thoughty till they're 30. And I feel like, boy, or 40 or 50, like I'm still, but it's so true. I think we mature and each one of us is different, but I think spiritually to get into a place sometimes where we have our footing and are really secure in our identity and our position in Christ and know our calling and election sometimes is takes a while. And it's what he's expressing here. He's talking about just as you grow up and you mature as Christians, you begin to understand things. You often experience things, and it was the same exactly for the prophet. He experienced things years and years later. He began to understand those things. It's so true for us as well. And you know what? I'm just going to read that. I feel bad for kind of skipping over that. So let me just bear with me because this is a little bit longer of a quote. He says, yes, his great foreknowledge tells him all these things by foreknowledge. He's omnipresent because he's omniscient, omniscient because he's omnipresent. Therefore, by foreknowledge. Now, he can't just be like the wind over the earth because he's a being. He isn't a myth. He's a being. He dwells in a house. He dwells in a place called heaven. Therefore, by his being omnipresent, being omniscient, knowing all things, then he is omnipresent because he knows all things. So now, here he starts talking about, you grew from your birth. When you was born and presented into this world, God knew you were going to be here in this earth, and you growed from birth to maturity, and things that seemed so strange to you in your young womanhood, young boyhood as children now seems very real. You couldn't understand it when you was a child, but now as you become adult, you begin to understand. Find out that everything was set just right. All pre-planned, amazing. And you're part of that. And you, it really means something to you now. So it is in your spiritual birth, and you do things you don't understand. When you're a little baby, you come to the altar, you give your life to Christ, you do such strange things. You wonder why you did it, but after a while, when you mature as mature Christians, then you understand it. There's something picks it up. See, why you had to do it? Your spiritual birth, the natural birth types, the spiritual birth. How it fitted you in this life, and as you grew, everything fitted right in because you were made for that. Wasn't it a strange thing? The night you staggered into the mission, the tent meeting, or the little church somewhere on the corner, and something the preacher preached on a certain subject, and you just fell right at the altar. See, God knew that before the foundation of the world. Seems strange to you why you did it then, but now you understand. It's just beautiful. I like the way he brings that out. You knew what happened, and it's so fitting to you in this life, and it will, listen, so fitting to you in this life, and it will be also in the life that is to come. This world and its life seems to advance as you mature. Everything seems to go right with you. And he's like, I don't believe a person's just here by chance. I believe when you come into the world, everything had to be prepared for you, or pre-prepared, rather, for you. I don't hardly understand how that we could think that a God that could prepare all these things for us, and we could not put trust in him. Now listen to this, that if he brought us in this chaos that we're in now and prepared the good things of life for us here, how much more can we trust him to prepare the things that is to come, the eternal things? So it's all his doing, all by his infinite wisdom, preparing us. Amen. Here's just another one real quick. He says, and then remember, this is in Sirs, we would see Jesus. If you were ever in God's thinking, you'll always be there. If you were ever in God's thinking, you'll always be there. If you've got eternal life, you are the expression or the attribute of his thought for this age. If not, he's like, there's only one eternal life and it always existed. And if you in his mind existed before there was a world, that's the reason he said he chose you before the foundation of the world. Then it isn't what we think, what somebody else thinks. It's what God, eternal, he says, you always was in his thinking. And then just dropping down just a little bit here, he says, now listen, I hope this is an encouragement. And because you might think, I don't feel like I'm being prepared. I don't feel very special. I don't feel very spiritual. Well, some days are like that, but don't, what you feel doesn't have anything to do with it. So forget about that. Listen, he says, there's nothing wrong. Everything is going to turn out all right. Amen. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. God's time, big timepiece is ticking right along, and it'll be there. He'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. Amen. It was in his thinking. So again, from his thinking back in the back part of his mind to that image expressed, the full picture, the positive, we're blending into that, I believe. We're pushing, he's pushing, moving us into that, closer and closer into that image. And again, take heart. How is he working? Every day, he's there in what would seem like the most inconsequential or insignificant things. We just read about how intimate he's involved, how he pre-planned, how it's he is there in your lives, in the things of the natural, the things of the spiritual, dropping that word into your heart day by day by his grace. Just think of what the scripture says. He's had word on top of word, line on top of line, here a what? Little, and there a little. So we can get discouraged, we get frustrated, we say, yeah, I wish there was more happening. But you say, the reality is he working? Has he called you? Has he opened your eyes? Has he opened your ears? Is he feeding you and you're revealing himself to you? And then there you go, take heart. Well, there's a rest here as we look at these things, because it's the reality that this, a people that's been prepared in his mind before the foundation of the world, it's a work that he's doing in us, bringing us to that full expression. It's his work alone. And I love this as we look into the scriptures and we look into these things, because religiosity, churchianity just falls. It's all stripped off. It's you and it's him. It's a work that he's doing in each one of us individually. As the scripture says in Matthew 6, verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? So it's the work of the Lord alone bringing us and into that process, working that out in us, preparing us. That's his work and his work alone. Who by taking thought, unfortunately, in our human condition, and the Lord's probably working that out in us, who taking thought? Well, unfortunately, we take a lot of thought, don't we, on a lot of things. And the more we can just let go and let God. He does his business best. He's really good at being God and we're not. So Lord, help us to rest. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Again, it's all him and what he's doing. And again, going back to that original quote, the only thing that's holding back the coming of the Lord is the readiness of his church. So where is he working? What is he doing right now? And am I a part of that? Because only what he is doing matters. Again, that's where I love this, because churchianity just strips, religiosity's gone. It's what is he doing? The world comes to him. The religious man says, Lord, Lord, did not I do X, Y, Z? He says, depart from me. I never knew you. So the question is, what is he doing? What is he doing in this hour? What is he doing in me and in you? Amen. It's his building, his process, in his alone. We know that he said, Jesus, upon this rock, I will build my church. So it's his building, and it's his building alone. He's building that church, and are we a part of it? Amen. So all this, again, just with that prepared people, that prepared place, all these things that are happening right now today, preparations, it's that church that he's building, the communion that you and I have in the Spirit, the fellowship, becoming one with him in the Spirit. Amen. And he's going to be glorified alone. I love Isaiah 60, verse 21 says, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands. Again, man's, we're out of the picture. It's him. It's what he's doing alone. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's gonna complete it. He's gonna perfect it. Amen. We know, like Abraham looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. There's something inside of us stirring up. Something inside of us calling to that realm, that dimension that he's bringing us into. We don't want this one. We groan. We cry out, Lord, deliver us from this. Amen. That building of God. All right, moving on. Here's another, just a couple more things here. The beauty of his working in us by his grace. Again, every day, he's going to have that people prepared, that people that have been worked on, the people that have been cut and carved and shaped and molded, he's going to have another masterpiece. She's going to reflect him. And again, it's his work. It's not something we can do to ourselves. It's his work. I love this where he says in the Message, Shalom, he knows every junction. He knows the rhythm, when it must take place. He knows what it takes to mold you. There you go. There's a people that he is molding. There's a people that he's working on, that he's shaping. He knows what kind of material he's going to use. See the backside of the desert sometimes, where God molds righteous men into sages and prophets. See, that's where men are beat out. Men are beat out in the Word. So that kind of stings a little bit. So we look at this reality of God and the bride coming down prepared, and we must understand what goes into this. We understand that before the foundation of the world, it, by election, we were there. And we understand that we're predestinated to this age. We're a part of that church that he's building, a part of the work that he's doing, and this masterpiece that he's cutting, shaving. Think about the prophet's language. Go back to perfect faith. Remember what he said? Takes a lot of shaving down. So we cry out and we groan, and yet it's something in us that says, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He says, God molds. Yeah, he says, sorry. That's where men are beat out. Men are beat out in the Word. Oh, my goodness. See, God wants to mold us and make us what he wants us to be. This is in a different one. Faith is our victory. God wants to mold and make us what he wants us to be, but how can we do that? Or how can God do that when we won't never ever stand still for him to do it? We want to be our own master. We want to think of our own ways of thinking. Many people come into church, they join the church, they put their name on the book, doesn't even consider what the church believes or the check with that church, how they preach the word and where they stand for the full gospel or not. They just pick out a portion and add a creed, floating, drifting, never able to amount to anything. But let me tell you something tonight. You're going to wind up at a destination one of these days that's going to be in the valley of the shadows of death. I would advise you at this hour to prepare to meet the God that you'll have to meet at that hour. You'll either meet him as a masterpiece that he's worked on. So again, where is God working? Where are the energies and the efforts and the heart and the eyes of God in this hour in getting that church, us, you, me, by his grace, ready? It'll be there. He said it will be, but you're going to meet, he says, you'll either meet him as a masterpiece that he's worked on or a floating piece of driftwood to go into your final destination. Now we got to buckle up and brace ourselves this next part, because this cuts every one of us. It cuts me in this hour that we're living in, Latos, this culture, the lifestyle. We've got it so easy, and that's one of our biggest enemies is this life. Now, you're going to overcome it because you're ordained to, but let's let him give us a little whip in here and search ourselves and examine ourselves. He says, so don't you use this life just to drift around and float around and get a better job and to dress better, get a new television or a better car. Life means more than that. Help us, oh Lord. Don't try to use that. He says, so, you know, Jesus, what did he say? Take no thought for your life, what you're meeting, all those things. That's a battle. That's a real challenge for us every day, because we take a lot of thought to those things. Lord, help us. Amen. So it's going to be that masterpiece that he's worked on, cutting and ripe. He also talks about ripening. Laying in the presence. She's going to be complete. You're going to be complete, right? We saw that. We looked at the beginning. We looked at the end, and there we are, the bride coming down, prepared. She's been worked on by the Lord, reflecting him. She's not going to have any spot or wrinkle. She will be him. That takes place every single one of us alone with him. You might come here, you might get fed, but there's a reality, there's an ongoing day-to-day communion and a relationship and a reality that has nothing to do with this place at all. Amen. I love Psalm 138, how the Lord says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Amen. And we know that the scripture says in Romans 8, all things work together. So that's the beauty of this, is again, we look at these things and we say, well, I don't feel very special or spiritual. Well, guess what? He's working in the things every single day of your life, every single part of your life. Go back to what the prophet said in the omniscience of God and how all these things are planned and ordained and set in order. And you're a part of that. You're a part of what he's doing and bringing out that expression in this day. This is from, just in closing here, the message, identified masterpiece of God. He says, you see, he wants to cut the church out just like he did the son out, like he did the bride and the groom. Think of that. To be his bride, you must be part of him, not part of the creed, not part of the church, not part of the denomination, but the part of him. See, hewed out of any other kind of form won't work. You've got to be hewed from the world. The world cut off you and just leave the world. You've got to be hewed from the word. The world cut off of you and just leave the word only live in you. The great sculpture is counting on you, willing to stand and have yourself shaped into the likeness of his requirements that his word requires. Oh my goodness, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Christ is the identified masterpiece of the word made flesh. You are asked to identify yourself by the same word to be the masterpiece for the bride. There you go. Don't you see that? That beautiful, again, in the heart and the mind of God, the vision that he had, the word manifested and expressed. He said, you are the word expressed for this day. That the attribute, the thought that you were in his mind coming into this day expressed. Amen. This great, beautiful drama that's unfolding. Don't you love him? Amen. Amen. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just we thank you for just these few minutes. Lord, I pray that you would take a simple thought here and some of these things that have, Lord, we've shared, that you would multiply tonight in the hearts of your people these loaves and fishes, Lord, that you would examine us, Father, even. Lord, we just want to lay ourselves at your feet tonight and say once more, take us, Lord. Mold us, shape us. Lord, cut out the things of this world, the things that shouldn't be there. Lord, we believe, Lord, that you are working. You're bringing us into that place of perfection, the place, Lord, where we reflect you, where we're one with you, Lord. It's all pre-planned, all preordained, Lord. It's by your grace. So we love these things. We offer ourselves. We submit ourselves to you tonight, Lord. Just, again, be glorified and speak and minister into the hearts of your people, we pray. Just ask this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's sing a, let's see, I think it's in the inserts. Maybe not. He's still working on me. I'm pretty sure that's in the, yeah, 65 in the inserts. So I'm so glad for that. Let's be patient with him, patient with each other. You know, you think of, I'm 46. Think of what he's taken me through in 46 years. And it took me 46 years to get to where I am. Imagine that. But be patient with one another. The Lord works with us all in different ways and timing. And amen. He's good. So let's go ahead. Sorry. He's, there really ought be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, working on me. In the mirror of his word, reflections that I see, makes me wonder why he never gave up on me. He loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, Some people are judgmental. They judge themselves the worst. They look upon their life and they say, I am accursed. Oh, I am so hopeless, I'll never make it through. But he's still working on you. He's still working on you. No matter what you're going through, he perfected the things he made, the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How easy life is, awful lot to do. But he's still working on you. My goodness, aren't you glad for that? Yeah, it may seem like there's an awful lot to do. But he's still working, aren't you glad? Let's just stand, Eck. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll just do one more. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns. That's number 25. Amen.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. Concerns me today. You are able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. You are able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. You are able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be.
Amen. Aren't you thankful that he is able? Not us, it's him. You're a people being prepared for another place, brothers and sisters. We're called to a place that's prepared for you, and you're being prepared, fitted, made ready for that. Take heart, take confidence. He's there, he's with you. He knows what he's doing. Every step of the way, it's all ordained, all pre-planned of God. Amen. Rest in him, have confidence in him. Amen. Let's just pray as we close. You know what? Do something. Why don't you just pray for somebody right around you? I pray that the Lord would be pleased to look down and see us in prayer, in love with one another, and in praying for one another. So just as we close, would you just pray for somebody right around you? Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your amazing grace, Lord. Father, we do have confidence in you. Lord, what do we have but what that we have not received? Lord, it's grace. We acknowledge tonight. We recognize your work in our lives. Father, we see what you've done in us and for us, and Lord, how you've opened our hearts, our eyes, our ears, Lord, and placed your word inside, Lord. And you've sown that seed, Father. We believe that, and we know, Lord, that you are working in each one of our lives, Father. Each day, maybe things we don't see today, we don't understand today, but Lord, we do know your word says all things are working together. Father, you're bringing a bride into that perfect image, reflecting you. Lord, it's all you're doing, all your grace, and we just recognize that. We give you thanks tonight, Lord, for all that you are, for all that you're doing. Just be glorified in every heart, Lord. We just ask you to bless each one. Father, tonight you see our burdens, our needs, our cares. We just cast them upon you. Ask that you would, Lord, unspoken requests, Lord, and the things that have been spoken, that you would answer, that you would help. Go before each one, protect and bless and guide and meet every need that we have, we pray. Lord, you are the answer to every need we have. So we just rest in you, Father. We ask your blessing upon the remainder of this evening, Lord. Protect us as we go home, we ask. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you.